welcome once again, friends, to another broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. This is Pastor Paul Tabano of Harvest Church in Clifton Park, New York, and I'm so glad you have decided to share this time with us. I pray today's program will be life-changing as you listen to the uncompromised Word of God. Now let's join a service already in progress.
Well, we've been talking for several weeks about trials. Say that with me, trials are inevitable. Maybe not that one's true. But discouragement is what? It's an option. It's a choice. Most places that we get to in life are because of choices we make or choices that we don't make. You understand the principle? How many of you made some good choices? How many of you haven't made so many good choices? Now, let me put it this way to you, if I can give you another way. Discouragement is faith in the devil. Discouragement is faith in the devil. Well, I don't believe in the devil. Then that's fine. You don't have to worry about that. Unbelief is faith in the devil. All that stuff. Anything that's opposite of God is faith in the enemy. So I make a choice, and you make a choice to be what? Discouraged or be encouraged. It's a choice we make. But what happens if the storms of life are overwhelming and the boat's sinking? What was Jesus looking for when he was in the boat with the disciples? What was the first thing he said? He didn't say anything about how you're doing. Everybody all right? Let's call 911. Let's call for the Coast Guard. What did he say? Where's your faith? So we need faith because the Bible says without faith you can't do what? Can't please God. They could have been. Jesus wasn't discouraged because why? He knew he had a mission to accomplish. He had something he had to get done. Amen? Now, I've also been bringing another word into play, and I just found out somebody wrote a book, The Point of No Return. There are many times when trials come our way, we have a decision to make to be encouraged or discouraged. Well, how can you be encouraged when you're in the midst of a terrible thing? Because the encouragement comes not from anybody or yourself. It comes out of the Word of God. That's where encouragement comes from. It says, cast all your cares upon Him. Why? Cares for you. He's already done it. See, always remember, everything that's already in the Word of God has already been done. Well, it's not working for me. Well, that's to call God a liar. The Bible said, is God a man that He should lie? When things don't go the way we think they should, we look at the Word of God, then we say, well, it must be God. It can't be. Well, listen to me. It's never God. It's already been proven in His Word. He's faithful and just in every single area. But if we don't experience that, we can become discouraged, and then I'm playing ball for the enemy. I'm playing in the visitor's ballpark. Never be discouraged. Say to yourself, never be discouraged. Now, we shared some thoughts with you. I'm going to go back and share them and give you something else the Lord's given to me to give to you. How's that? All right. Hebrews 10:25. We've been hitting on this every week. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because the word forsaking has three different meanings. Are you ready? To be extremely discouraged, to be extremely defeated, and be extremely depressed. When you don't gather together with other believers, this is what takes place. Well, Pastor, does it all take place in church? Actually, church is the smallest piece of the pie because all the rest of the time that you're not in a house of God with other believers, you're gathering around the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. When you're reading your devotions, when you're sharing the Word of God, when you're reading them with your family, when you're doing these things and bringing the Word of God in, that's where encouragement comes from. But if we don't do that, discouragement, without any question, will come. Amen? Now, how many of you know what it means to be like in a point of no return? Give you an idea. This came to me yesterday, and it fits all the time. How many of you ever had an automobile that needs repairs? And it's worth this much, but the repairs are this much. It's a point of no return. Well, if I can put this money into it, even though the car isn't worth it, maybe I can get so many miles out of it. So you make the decision to repair the vehicle. So we're going to repair this, and then next week the transmission goes. And it seems like it was not a good choice. It was a point of no return. Well, let me see. Let me get a new car instead, but I can't afford a new one, but I can afford to repair the old one. But you see, sometimes those point of no returns can come back and cause us problems. That's why even when it comes to your automobile, the Holy Spirit knows the right answer. He knows don't repair it. He knows somebody is about to pass and their vehicle is going to be given to you as a gift. You're going to find out that's just what I'm looking for. And the person has to leave the country. They want to sell it right away. And it's much less than the value of the car. The Holy Spirit knows all that. Isn't that great? He is in the car dealership business. Glory to God. Understand, when we don't come together with other believers, and the enemy would like nothing better. Well, you don't want to go to church today. You don't want, no, you know how I feel about that evangelist. You don't want to go hear him again. He can get a little like wild. You know what I'm trying to say? So don't come together and assemble ourselves. And then that week we become discouraged. I wonder why. We miss the opportunity not to be defeated or discouraged or depressed because we didn't come together. Say, coming together is critical in our experience with God. It's critical. We must do it every single opportunity. The church doors open. Come. Coming together, taking a good look at what's going on. I'm not discouraged. I'm not depressed. I'm not going under. I'm going over. Amen. It's a choice that we make. Discouragement is faith in the devil. The Holy Spirit just told me how that works. Newsflash. When we say what the word says out of our mouth, most believers don't because they feel silly saying it. If the enemy can shut our mouth, he'll get us discouraged. If he shuts our mouth, discouragement is right there knocking on the door. It seems silly to us because the silliness is a disguise of the enemy with his discouragement. Everything on this planet was made by words spoken. Everything, say everything. Everything I'm experiencing, everything about my own physical body, my spirit man, is a result of somebody saying words. Now you can accept words or reject words. How many of you know that's true? If anybody say something about you that's really bad and nasty, but I choose to hear what God says about me. I never choose what other people say about me, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't choose to listen to them because one minute they're saying you're doing a good job. The next minute they want to crucify you. One minute you're saying they want to crucify you. Then they're in your corner. I can't figure people out. So I'd rather listen to God who I can't figure out, but I know will always speak the truth. If the enemy can keep your mouth and my mouth closed, he'll keep us in a state of frozen discouragement. Discouragement is not a place you and I want to live. Every time trials and tribulations come our way, we have a decision to make, and that is to change what's around us by our words or to encourage what's around us and make it even stronger. Say this, I choose not to be discouraged. I got bad news today. I choose not to be discouraged because bad news isn't bad news, it's good news because God is in anything and everything that comes your way and my way. I look for Jesus. I look for the best in any and every situation. Amen. Now, go over to Mark chapter 5. Can you do that for me? Hallelujah. We're talking about this woman, all right? I love this portion of Scripture. Listen to the fifth chapter and go over, if you don't mind, look at verse 22, all right? We're not going to read all of it, but listen. One of the rulers of the synagogue came up, Jairus by name, seeing him, he prostrated himself at his feet. Remember what I said about worship? Amen. Listen to me now. And he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may live and be healed. And Jesus went from him, and a great crowd. Where did the guy go? He didn't come discouraged. He came how? Full of faith. Discouragement wasn't going to settle in, but was his daughter near death? Now, if somebody you love, your children, are near death, how do you get encouraged about that? See, he knew what this woman did who had the issue of blood. If I can just get to Jesus. Listen to me. If I can just get to the Word. Well, Pastor, you know, I can't take my Bible to work today. You can. You don't have to have a big book on your desk like this. Somebody tells you, where can you put the Word? On the smallest little thing you can, and you can read it anytime you want to. You can even watch clips of other ministry. Can you take the reservoir with you? Can you be encouraged? Sometimes when your stomach gets upset, you ever take a Tums, something like that? Now, if you're Italian, you never have that problem because you're always eating food so fast, your stomach can't react to it. Amen? Glory to God. But when you need something, what do? You take something to help you out in the natural. This is available to us. There's no longer an excuse saying, well, I can't pray here. Oh, yes, you can. Well, I can't read the Word. Yes, you can. Every opportunity, rather than be discouraged about the situation, we pick up the Word and say, but here's what the Word of God says. This is life. Jesus said you don't live by bread alone, but what? Every what? Every word that proceeds not out of the mouth of some prophet or some evangelist or some preacher. Where does it come from? Out of the mouth of God. The Bible says the word of God is what? Inspired. Every single word is inspired by the Spirit of God. Say, I'm encouraged, even when I'm discouraged, because the word of God levels the playing field. Now listen, let's go a little bit further here. Are you ready? 24. and a great crowd kept following him, pressed him on all sides, so almost to suffocate him. I like what this little piece says here. And there was a woman. See, even with a great crowd, Jesus has got you and I singled out. Remember the scripture? The hairs of your head are... It doesn't say they're counted. When Jesus was on the cross of Calvary and he died for the sins of mankind, he didn't say, I'm dying for all the sins of all these people. I'm dying for. He started mentioning each one of us by name who he was dying for. The blood that flowed from Calvary covers every man, woman, and child, regardless of how old you look, man, woman, the color of your skin. He died, and he didn't just die for the sinners. He died for the sin of mankind, and he knows each one of us by name, past, present, and even in the... My God, have mercy. Hallelujah. Listen, God knows our frailty every day. That we say out of our mouth, God, I'll serve you no matter what. And then the phone rings and we're saying, I can't believe God did this to me. Too many people walk the aisle today, make a covenant with a man and a woman, and in a matter of weeks, days, years, the covenant's gone. Listen, when you make a covenant in marriage, it's a blood covenant you make. And it's the same as if God made his blood covenant with you and I through his son, Jesus Christ. He's not coming back and saying, I changed my mind about the blood covenant. You understand the principle? We walk away from marriages, sometimes for good reasons. Well, does God have a bunch of good reasons to walk away from you and I? Oh my God, every day. But he does not, because he made an oath with himself. There's a woman without a name that had a flow of blood. It's interesting, there's no name, but it gives a duration. 12 years, and who endured much suffering, much discouragement at the hands of many physicians who had spent all that she had and was no better, but instead grew worse. You and I have a decision to make. When things are getting worse, we must counteract that with what the Word of God says. Next verse. But she heard. See, this is the beginning of getting you and I to a place of not being discouraged. And if we are discouraged, my, we've got to hear something. Verse 27, she heard the reports concerning Jesus. All I need to know is Jesus, him crucified, risen from the dead. She heard the reports, all good reports concerning Jesus, came up behind him in the throng, in the crowd, and touched his garment. And she kept saying, there's the whole key. When you and I leave this place today, we're going to be challenged. All week long, we'll be challenged. Listen, she kept saying what the Word of God said over and over, because faith comes by hearing. In the Greek language, it doesn't stop there. Faith comes by hearing, comma, hearing, hearing, hearing. Now listen to me. There'll be trials and tribulation that come your way, my way. This week, you and I have a decision to make. When things are getting worse, we must counteract that with what the Word of God says.
This is Pastor Carolyn Tabano. I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. If today's program has encouraged you and you would like to become a partner with this ministry, please send all correspondence and financial contributions to Harvest Church, 303 Grooms Road, Clifton Park, New York, 12065. If you'd like to download today's message and view our complete media library, or if you'd like to know more about this ministry, you can find us at soldoutforjesus.com. Until next time, remember that you too can be sold out for Jesus, because Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive.